Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mia, you guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 605-ish. And I promised myself I would catch up on the two most recent Orange Counties before tonight's OC starts. I'm going to do my level best to get this episode out probably right when tonight's episode airs. But I do have just a couple things to catch, I guess, myself up on, since I'm the only one in the universe who is a little behind on Orange County. And now I just realized I have a couple recordings tomorrow, and I still now, even though I'm caught up, I still am behind on Potomac, have to watch this week's New York, have to watch this week's Salt Lake City, and this week's Orange County. So tonight for me is going to be an absolute cram session, but of all of the seasons and all of the franchises, how lucky am I that I get to cram with Potomac, which tomorrow's guest has told me they are delighting in. And New York is allegedly present, and Salt Lake City is going to be great. And God only knows what's going to happen on OC. God only knows. The moment the Orange County reunion trailer came out today, I just watched it. And when Emily Simpson, my queen, my angel, my everything, said, I forget the exact line, but it was something along the lines of, like, every trash can needs a lid, and John Jansen found his. The scream. I can't even do it, because I'm going to start coughing. The scream that came out of my body, because I kind of thought she was going to be referring to Alexis having the lid that's John Jansen. So when she was like, nope, Alexis, you're the lid and John's the trash. I mean, truly, it was giving me Adam and Eve. Like, whose rib, whose trash can, whose lid? I could not have been more into it. And I also just have to say the energy of the reunion I was really into, because what Andy has said and what other what cast members have said is, like, it's a different kind of energy for this reunion. It's not just screaming for 16 episodes. And I kind of felt that in the trailer, which I was into. I think it's going to be a different kind of energetic shift, which makes sense because Orange County has been so fucking nuts that I am here for sort of a different kind of ride and adventure. I watched watched the two most recent episodes, excluding tonight's, which I will watch live, hopefully, maybe, possibly, definitely, maybe. And I felt like the theme of the episodes was, as Gina put it, boundaries. Like, what is considered too far? There was a context around the episodes that was like, it wasn't even breaking the fourth wall, which it absolutely was. That's like the definition of it. But it was just like, let us be organic to the landscape of filming this show. Go fuck yourself, quote unquote, friend circle. We're going to talk about the reunion. We're going to talk about making phone calls. We're going to talk about Taylor Armstrong shaken by the reveal on the second episode. But it really was about like, what is going too far? And I think the difficulty here is there is, or to me, there appears to be a little bit of a chicken and egg situation. Because putting aside, big putting aside, but putting aside how Tamra is treating Shannon and at other points, Jen, other members of the cast, you know, she's cruel, she's a bully, she's mean, she feeds on the blood of abandoned, you know, baby deer. Like she's not, you know, when Tamra gets her vitamins in, everybody hide. You know, she's a bad person. Can I say that? Can I just feel like she's a bad person? She delights in other people. She feasts. What? She's not an energy vampire. She's like a literal housewife vampire. She feeds on the blood of innocents and also people who aren't innocent. But, you know, they give good doe-eyed humor. She's just a terrible person who has probably become worse as a result of the show and often masks her maturity, I mean, LOL, or like search for truth, retribution, yes, but some sort of middle ground situation. It's costumed. I mean, happy Halloween, by the way. She puts on the costume of like, I'm getting better with time. And I think she's just getting deeper into the worst parts of herself. And that's on camera. Off camera, I do believe that Tamra is probably among the more normal of people on this show. When she's talking about like Shannon making shitty financial decisions, but you know, I'm storing everything like a squirrel with a fucking nut, putting everything in a goddamn tree. Eddie's sweeping it. He's tending to it. He's making sure that nest grows. I believe her. I think she's mature in that way. And I think she is very focused on staying independent, which is excellent. Like, I think people should potentially listen to Tamra with at least the way she's describing her financial responsibility, the financial responsibility she feels for herself and her retirement. I think that is something that maybe not many housewives can say, because a lot of people are spending a lot of money so that they can remain looking a certain level of rich. Maybe that's not all for the camera. Maybe that's how they lived their lives before, but it certainly isn't smart. It's not smart business. I mean, look at Dorit's closet, like number one. It's not exactly a stock. You could mortgage a wing of Villa Rosa on what she has in there. I just kind of feel like there are points in which Tamra, there's a Tamra that I can still appreciate in some way, but the vast majority of her is so ugly and mean. And it doesn't mean she's always wrong, but there is a little bit of a chicken and egg situation with the kind of storyline of these two episodes, because we're trying to figure out who did the shittier thing about a cast member first. Was it Tamra saying, but probably not doing, a private investigation, language she herself used and then was trying to gaslight Jen into saying she didn't do? But there's a difference between like, I didn't end up doing a quote unquote private investigation versus I never said I was going to. And Jen, because she had screenshots of stuff you could very easily Google about Ryan, if I'm understanding the screens, like his work address or whatever, and just like his name and photo. I don't even remember what those screenshots were. And I truly just saw the episode, so go me. But I think that there's a difference between someone like Googling, and I don't know that Jen had evidence of an actual private investigation. She certainly had evidence of Tamra saying she intended to do this thing, which Tamra is trying to laugh off and say, like, you don't know what you're talking about. It never happened. But she certainly was communicating that she planned to. So it's like, is that great? No, I'm not. I don't want to minimize Jen's upset. And what a fucking queen move that was. Just yelling at Tamra when she looked like she was just tasting something sour. I don't think she knew what to do with herself. So all she could do was mock Jen. And I think the problem with Heather being in that room is that I don't think Heather cares about anything relating to this show right now. She cared when she found out that maybe 8-year-olds are rating her 2 stars on Yelp. Like, she cared about that. But I don't think she necessarily really cares about anyone in the cast. And that I include Tamara in that. I think that's actually why they're able to get along right now, because I don't think that Heather has a lot invested in the show and in the relationships with cast members on the show in the way that she maybe used to or was better at pretending she needed. And so there's kind of like a little bit of a gap sometimes when I'm watching Heather interact with people and maybe argue with them, because ideally the stakes are either I want to repair a relationship, I want to bury this person in the sand, or I want to make sure that my point is coming across and my voice is being heard. With Heather, I'm like, it feels like she's 3 feet away from the quote unquote LOL friend circle in the way she was. But again, back to the chicken and the egg, the thing here that's going to be very difficult to parse is how much of an involvement Shannon had, for example, like what her responses were, maybe not just in that day's text thread about Ryan and the investigation, but like moreover about the idea of doing investigations. And on the flip side, how involved was Tamara? What was Tamara's response when Shannon said she wanted to find out whether or not Gina had committed domestic violence against Travis? I just need to take a second here and just say out loud that just for the purposes of being able to film with people, it's not even about, was this too low? Which of course it was. That's unacceptable and psychotic as an instinct to think to do that. I don't remember what was happening with Gina and Shannon specifically during the time in which this exchange was taking place. But regardless, that's unacceptable and a wild thing to do if you ever plan to film with this person ever again. Like, that's just lighting a fuse and starting a brush fire that will burn down an entire state. Like, if you're behaving in that way, you have to know there's no going back. I think the problem for Shannon is she opened Pandora's box. I'm not entirely begrudging her for telling Jen and thinking she was going to be able to like get revenge and really trigger Jen into a response. She was successful in that. But you have to remember all the skeletons in your closet, babe, especially if they're over text message. That's number one. Number two, making accusations, rumors, allegations, weird blog posts about possible domestic violence into some sort of weird punchline or retribution, smartass comment is a wild choice. This is where I'm like, I think being on the show is like melting down people's brains, or at least any kind of LOL sense of morality, because that's crazy to me. That's just like a wild thing to do. And we've seen many women on many franchises do a wild thing. I think it's like a what the fuck moment. I also don't think that Tamara was like, oh God, don't do it. I could see her being involved in some way. And it also speaks to like what these women get off on when it comes to their friendship. With you guys being best friends, now we know what your best friendship looked like. You can argue there's mean girl energy with Tamara and Heather Dubrow right now. I mean, I could argue that. I think I'm doing that right now. Look at me. I think that a person can say Tamara and Dubrow are not coming across great. But now that I know a little bit more about like what's getting some of these ladies off, what's the stuff that's like making them feel intrigued? It's not a great idea to encapsulate domestic violence as a possible go fuck yourself moment on camera. Like, was there any moment, or is this just completely too Pollyanna of me, for them to hear that maybe there was a rumor of something taking place, which Gina obviously clarified in her confessional? Per Gina, this is something that the ex-wife put out there lying, and it's all the more reason why she physically needed to leave the love of her life, their house together, and have him move, because she couldn't be in a situation that the ex-wife could use. She's trying to remove herself from that as much as possible. To me, that made perfect sense. Like, finally, we're getting information where I'm like clocking it. I'm like, okay, this is a great example of someone doing way too fucking much and that forcing you into a position to remove yourself in some way and still be with Travis. Like, I get that. It makes sense to me. What is so fucking wild, considering what has been said about Shannon and David in their marriage, is the idea of, like, there was a line at one point. Was there not? Did we not see Vicky and maybe Tamara? I honestly forget, from the reunion several years ago, where there were accusations made on camera and it was a moment in which Shannon understandably got very upset. I'm not hearing in that text thread that you can't hear, if only it was voice notes, we should be so fortunate. That's an after show. I'm not hearing like any of them say, oh God, that's terrible. I hope Travis is okay. They're only looking at it as ammo. That's not great. Like, that's, I was genuinely shocked. I was like, oh shit. And also the irony that this is happening against Gina, the person who has spent these two episodes, certainly episodes prior, being like, you guys are doing too much. We need to have a line installed. We need to make sure we're not going so, so far over the line that we can't come back from it. So to find out that the second reveal is about her and about this incredibly malicious, terrible accusation that does need to be treated seriously because it's a serious topic. It's honestly mind-boggling. The way that she was able to channel her frustration and seeing that in real time, like the look that she exchanged with Emily in the moment where she looks directly at Emily of like, is this real? And Emily's giving her eyes and she's like, it's 100% real. I mean, when Emily was told, she says Gina needs to know immediately, and she absolutely did. There is just Gina's ability to be able to continue communicating when she's finding out that this is what people she considers friends are doing behind the scenes or did do. But now she knows that there's a capacity problem here, because if you love Gina now, but you were willing to do that then, what's going to happen the next time? Like, can you, as a franchise, decide we will not cross this line? Is this the cast that can be responsible for that? Or are you just screaming in the dark because telling Tamara Judge you're going too far? Again, Gina and Emily to me are absolutely the MVPs of the season, just in terms of like grounded, smart responses, empathy, normalized changing your mind based on new information, the absolute 180 turnaround on Alexis alone, they deserve a lot of credit for. It says an awful lot about Tamara and Heather and how they're so mired in bullshit and they're happy to play with it that they have not been able, not once, to really push back on anything Alexis has done. I've lost so much respect for Heather Dubrow. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this is what happens when you sell a house for $9 bajillion and you're, I don't know, what is she even sharing of her life? Like, the fact that they're going through renovations, like, what's happening here? What is Tamara sharing of her life? Of course they would be delighting in other people having dramatic moments, or I don't know that Heather's delighting in it so much as like checking out. And she does have this like back and forth thing with Katie, but it is understandable why they would be feasting on so much rumors and speculation and drama if they're not sharing anything else. Like, they're seemingly very okay with other people being in hot water. But Heather, to me, even though she is certainly, like, she does give off, I mean, porte-cochere elitist energy. It's one of the things I love about her, is when we're learning what temperature wine should be chilled in or whatever the fuck. The thing that I always kind of appreciated about Heather is, like, she doesn't need the money, obviously. But it's a different kind of thing than when Adrian Maloof was on Beverly Hills, for example, where I get it, I understand why, but this person really, really wanted the fame. Same with Diana on Beverly Hills, God forbid. Don't say her name three times. It is, in fact, Halloween. God only knows what will happen when you do. But there's with Heather, of course, she has, you know, a background as an actor. And I'm not saying she wasn't interested in the spotlight, not nearly as much as Terry was and is. But there was something about her where I'm like, she still gives me reasonable. When something is happening, I think she's listening. And I think she's going to give a reaction that feels honest to her. I can't say that anymore. I'm just kind of watching her refuse to acknowledge other people's upset. She seems so checked out. I'm not saying in any way, listen, normalize criticizing a housewife and not wanting her to leave. I'm not saying I want Dubrow to leave. I truly, truly do not want that to take place. And I think the show has learned its lesson, you know, during her gap years. But I am also saying that, like, something, I don't even know if you can change this or it's just an acknowledgement that she does seem to have peaced out. And at the bare minimum, I expected her to at least be able to communicate that, like, Alexis, for example, is fucking up, and her disinterest or inability to do that is frustrating. With Tamara, I'm like, it's just, she triumphs in intellectual laziness, and I think that's great for her. She's gotten a lot of great success with it, which doesn't mean she's stupid. She's really fucking smart. She just expects everyone around her to be dumb. And some of her reactions to things, her instincts are, they're quick, but they're tired. Like, how many times can I see her scream at Shannon, "You're a drunk"? Another moment in which Gina triumphed when she looked at Tamara. Tamara got it, except she didn't, because then she was screaming about driving into a car into a house shortly thereafter. But Gina really took that moment and was like, please stop. She's on a journey. And what I heard when Gina saying, like, please don't use, you know, someone having a potential issue with alcohol as a pejorative, what I heard Gina saying was, like, have more respect for me, someone who has chosen not to drink, who has gone through her own journey and her own relationship with alcohol, and what you're doing affects and offends me. That's what I heard in the lines between what Gina was actually saying. And I think Tamara heard her. Like, you could see in her eyes that Tamara was like, got it, okay. But do I think that will last very long? Probably not. But the energy and vibe in these episodes was, to me, really interesting, because it just feels like there are a lot of loose threads. I don't know exactly, I don't understand exactly what happened with the Shannon wanting to find out information about the rumor, about a rumor impacting Gina and Travis. She's saying at the Sunday supper, or what's it called? London special roast, Sunday roast. She's saying, putting words together and trying to figure it out. What's a protein? She's saying at the Thursday tofu special that it was something that Tamara had started, and that she was just kind of playing off of Tamara's energy, or they were both complicit. I don't know if we'll ever hear the truth of that. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them are doing some selective editing in, you know, which exact screenshots are being shared. I did gasp when Tamara said, "I talked to Taylor last night." It was giving me Meredith Marks and overall Salt Lake City energy from last season. It was giving me, "Monica, you done fucked up." It was giving me, "It seems like I'm just learning this information, but in fact, I've also done prep. Like, I've prepared for this. This is my LSAT journey. I have called who I need to call. I have some receipts." Poor sweet Shannon, as was evident by the paper napkins or something, crinkled up, whatever, that she produced to show things that she had purchased for John. Receipts are not actually something that Shannon is great at. Now, I'm not removing or ignoring the Alexis receipt. That was a big fucking deal. I don't think that got received by the rest of the cast as fully as it should have. Like, Gina, once again, MVP, gave us the reaction many of us, I think, at home had. I at least did. When Shannon is sharing that screenshot, because it was like, holy shit, you actually have this. This is a big fucking deal. I don't know that the cast received it that well. I also am watching Shannon get those crumpled pieces of paper out, I laughed so hard. And I also thought to myself, there are so many things that connect me to this woman. I love her so much. So many things. I mean, listen, I can criticize if a show has, you know, changed someone when it comes to boundaries around gossip about cast members, or if that was always there, who knows? But I love her. She is my one. She's my one true love. I looked at those pieces of paper and I said, this is my notes app. My notes app right now, if I knew, for all the jokes that I've made about Shannon and technology, I'm one of many things she and I have in common. Hashtag old audio. Okay, looking at my notes currently, I don't know if this is more or less than people have, but just going into my notes app, I have 2,408 notes. That is a lot, I think, of notes to have. It does mean if I'm looking for something, if I remembered any kind of word I used for the thing I'm looking for, which I can guarantee you I would not know, each individual note, it looks like Shannon's crumpled paper. The other thing, obviously, that I have in common with Shannon is the devastating update about pooping. I do have a little bit of I mean, honestly, it's like, are we living parallel lives? The sliding doors comparison that I always love to make, just like me living my life and Shannon living hers and us frequently meeting in the middle, do a little high five and then skipping along our way. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improves sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ANDYSCROLLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ANDYSCROLLS for 15% off today.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Little update. I will do like a little, I was talking about this with BBDB, because I give her just constant daily voice notes and we just send each other back. Everyone can go fuck themselves, daily affirmations. But a quick little update, because I met with my surgeon today to go over pathology and a list of 30,000 questions that I have. I'll do a little bonus episode for people to listen if you're curious, and maybe it'll be informative and maybe help people, and very, very easy for others to skip. Not like to, which is totally fine as well. But what was I going to say? Oh, right. Little update that, before I circle back to Shan, little update that I do have something in common with Brooks Ayers. Neither of us have cancer. And that was wonderful to hear. And let's circle back to Orange County, shall we? Okay, here we go. The confusion that I have about Heather and Shannon's conversation around whether or not Heather has empathy for Shannon relating to the accident or feels like she's been used by Shannon for her own purposes filming on TV is confusing to me, because I do kind of think the standard is, in most instances where housewives are having a conversation with each other, they're also having one with the audience. Like the whole refrain that Dame Brian Moylan, president and CEO of the Real Housewives Institute, which I frequent every day, study hall is wonderful. He has made this comparison many, many times, including in his book, The Housewives, The Real Story of the Real Housewives, which I highly encourage that people get for Hanukkah, Christmas, and Kwanzaa this year. It is excellent. But he has always said that, you know, the thing that housewives are ultimately fighting about is the show. Like, so many of the fights on Housewives are really fights about their perception of how each other is going to be received, or whether or not you're saying too much or doing too much, and how this is going to affect my reputation or whatever else. It's all the boundaries of it all becomes confusing when you also factor in that, like, this is sort of a game of Survivor, or becomes that depending on the franchise, to be honest. But with Heather and Shannon, the confusing thing here is Heather trying to communicate to Shannon that, like, you're using me for camera time, but that's the thing that they all do with each other. So I'm listening to what Heather is saying, but I'm a little befuddled that there seems to be kind of the measurement or scale of perfection with Shannon, which is a joke, number one, best of luck to you, but also the purity contest is so distorted. That's the thing that Emily was mentioning, co-MVP of the season. And also Shannon, obviously it's a trio, but just in terms of, like, who I really think has helped the core of the show move along and be the heart of the audience, the soul of the audience, I really do think it's been Gina and Emily. But Emily made that comparison clear too, that they are holding a standard for Alexis that they're not with Shannon. And it's incredibly inconsistent and honestly kind of strange. And Heather saying that she was used by Shannon because Shannon had gone on Jeff Lewis Live and, yes, lied, which she has acknowledged. She said she had never thought of something when Jeff was raising, is there any chance that John Jansen heard the accident, allegedly, because that's my opinion. When Jeff said that, Shannon's response was like, I had never heard of that, even though a week or 2 weeks prior, whenever, in the time before she went on the show, she had had that conversation with Jeff because it was a question he had for her. So was that something she had been thinking about and went on the radio and lied? Yes. Was there a valid reason why she lied? Because she's thinking, he could come after me. I'm nervous. I don't want to be the one to carry this weight, this flame. All of that, I think, is understandable. But Heather twisting and disordering that and being like, then anything Shannon communicates, including her upset about being arrested for a DUI and the breakdown of her relationship with this man and maybe being used and being misunderstood, for her to assume that then that's all a part of some strategy is strange. And on top of that, they keep referencing the fact that, like, Shannon went on Jeff Lewis and said things, so you're not telling me anything new. But I'm thinking to myself, what about the picture? The picture was at the heart of this. The fact that Shannon She did something she hadn't done on Jeff Lewis, she hadn't done previously, which was going public with that photo. Shannon, in sharing that moment with Heather, is sharing a photo that she finds humiliating, embarrassing, upsetting, obviously, of her bloodied and injured after this accident that she caused. Having that moment with Heather obviously is a new one. And for Heather not to understand that is so fucking weird. Like, I don't get why she doesn't get it unless she's really not thinking that much because she's so tapped out. And the other part of that is, and like, listen, we have the benefit of watching these episodes, being able to unpack them, having new information since the show is filmed, which certainly influences our opinions. We have the benefit of that. But I'm so tired of Heather and Tamra making the defense that, like, if you just pay him, this will end. That's so stupid and so lazy. That's exactly what Alexis would want them to say. What would Jesus Juggs do? If you're saying something that she would do, don't do it. Like, new Nike era. Just don't do it. What indication has this man, who went on the red carpet for Us Magazine, for the Oscars, LOL, for any number of things, who has a publicist or rep or something that was able to communicate his breakup with Shannon before Shannon herself did? He wants to be spoken of. He also is such a fucking idiot. He thinks that he can control other people's opinions, or maybe he's just so used to controlling his partners, he doesn't understand that with Shannon, there is an expiration date that has passed. But what indication has this man, who's now in love with Alexis Bellino, quiet private figure, who, oh my God, signed back on to do reality TV. What's a guy to do? I don't know. I'm sure he had a conversation about how stressful this was, the idea that this woman he's newly in love with is going to be on reality TV. Maybe he went to lunch at the Ivy with his publicist. Like, this man is interested in being spoken about. He just also has such a fucking big goddamn ego. I know people throw around narcissists like there's no tomorrow, but like, I don't know. Tomorrow's coming soon. He throws around all of this bullshit that other housewives are packaging and redistributing. And I'm like, what has he done for you lately? Why do you think that if this guy won't sign a mutual non-disparagement, which is not a big fucking deal, if you are settling a case, she needs to, you know, repay him, whatever else. Why wouldn't he do that? Because he wants to continue using his voice. Like, connect those dots, sweetie. If this man is saying he doesn't want to sign because he doesn't know what'll come up as a result of his former partner, who he had no problem dating when she was on reality TV, when they were still together. Now it's a big fucking issue. You can tell how private he is by the fact that he's on TV in the finale. As we've seen by the preview, the man shows up for a cameo. He's hiding in her bedroom, but certainly listening. He didn't leave the house when she had when Alexis had two cast members over to film, when they told her that her paperless post got thrown in the river and she wasn't going to be going to on a boat ride to hell down the Thames. Like, there's no indication that he has given literally anyone, including us, including Alexis, that he will ever be done with this. So the idea of Shannon giving him $75,000, you might argue that she could do it to move on for herself, so he can't continue to hold that against her. And by him, I mean, like, honestly, Alexis and him. But you can't say that he's ever going to finish, because now we know he's a fucking monster, and it does not tire of this. I think if we're going to, you know, again, Halloween, if we're going to talk about vampires, the man grows fangs longer and longer whenever he checks his Google alert. It is who he is. It is maybe what he has become. Who knows? I mean, I wish he got a hobby. We've been told he has a job. So I don't know. I don't know how to respond to that except to say, hasn't this been litigated prior in the season? Why are we continuing to think that he's a better man than he has told us over and over and over again that he is? And also, speaking of Captain Obvious, and I hate to do this because I love her. I just think that Jen is a queen, and the screaming or yelling or just using her voice and being like, Shannon, oh my God, LOL. Oh, what does that mean? And being like, Tamra, go fuck yourself, when Tamra's in the robe. An iconic moment. Tamra had to resort to like full kindergarten responses of like, you're stupid, I'm going to throw glue at your head, because she didn't have anything else to say. I get Jen being upset that Heather and Tamra were like maybe shit-talking the dress. But there is a big but, a tushy, if you will, for Jen to go to Neiman Marcus or wherever and buy a $2,000 Dolce dress that it sounds like she bought and he maybe repaid her for it, or she used his card. I was very confused by that, because then the conversation is like, well, I told Ryan that I bought this dress and it was too much. And he was like, you should keep it, and then you can use it for other family events. And because, you know, number one family, Real Housewives of Orange County, obviously. But everybody's a crazy cousin. But the whole like, you should keep it, but I bought it. I was very confused. Like, is she using his card? Do they have a shared card? Putting aside the operations of how Ryan paid or paid her back for that dress, buying a $2,000 Dolce & Gabbana, beautiful, right? Fine. Is it worth $2,000? I don't think, honestly, anything is. But buying a $2,000 Dolce & Gabbana dress to film Shannon's tea party scene. This isn't even like the finale, the reunion. This is a tea party outside. Spending that kind of money, regardless of the scene being filmed, is too much fucking money. If you're also having the season where we're talking about being thrown out of your house, and I do think it matters that she's only getting potentially $6,000 a month from her ex to pay for five kids, whatever else, and he's not even paying it. And in real time, he's trying to go after her in the court and is flopping hard, by the way. He's like releasing text messages that he thinks shows she's nuts, and the texts are like, can we please talk and communicate and co-parent? Like, this man sucks. He's a loser. I'm sorry. This is a real honesty circle episode. I am 1,000% Team Jen until I hear otherwise when it comes to Team Jen and her divorce and the schmuck, like 100%. And I think the fact that he refuses to communicate with her is weird. He's stooping their former interior designer or something, but Jen likes her, so that's great. No problem there. You know, whatever Jen wants, I want for her. I want Jen to be happy. But I also think filming a TV show where a big part of the show is like, I got kicked out of my house and I don't have any money and I don't know what to do and I'm only getting like $50 a yoga class or $100, whatever it is. When you have introduced the fact that there are money troubles and you're buying a $2,000 Dolce & Gabbana dress, I don't think it's the craziest, most wild, insane thing to happen that co-stars find out and are like, or they're shopping at Neiman or whatever, and they're like, wow, that's wild that she bought a $2,000 dress at this point. Now, you clarify Ryan paid for it. Okay, but now there are questions there about things, you know, oh, look, a bird, about the FBI and stuff that's going to come out in the finale that Jen will clarify, as she has. And Lord knows Tamra has, after being sent a cease and desist. And we love that. We love Tamra thinking she's going to get away with stuff and then not. But I get what Jen is saying. I actually think what matters here is like whether they're chuckling about it. Because again, Tamra and Heather are doing this weird mean girls style thing where I feel like everybody else is the butt of the joke, but never them, that I think is really tired. So if I was Jen, I would be hurt that like my friends are gossiping about me. That I understand. That like, if you're being cruel, if you're being bitchy, I get that. But what I don't get is saying they don't have maybe the right to look at the dress you are publicly wearing to film and question whether or not those were some responsible financial decisions being made. And I also actually did appreciate, I think Tamra said it and it was kind of a one-off. I don't know if people could really hear it, and maybe I'm just pulling it out of my ass at this point, but I'm pretty sure it happened. When Tamra was like, you don't need to buy that stuff for us. That's something that should be sent via certified letter to Dorit Kemsley and everyone else she has created, that you don't need to do this for us. Well, maybe some of you do if you don't have a personality, but for the vast majority, don't go bankrupt or into debt to film this show. Because also, don't you want to make money doing it? I mean, a lot of these people are trying to do businesses and stuff, and they're not exactly... There's only one skinny girl. A lot of other people have gotten very successful as a result of being on Housewives. Tamra's a great example of it. Like, I think Vina's doing really well. Her podcast is doing really well. She's making a significant income unrelated to her income on Housewives and deserves credit for it. But a lot of people aren't. And that's what makes me a little bit nervous for Jen. But I also think, what style of living are you able to afford right now? Is it Ryan's? Like, what's your contribution to that? What's your arrangement with him going to be? How are you preparing yourself for an independent life with a husband? Like, is that, are we doing anything like that where you guys are getting married, mazel tov, but also how are we, what are we changing any behavior as a result of what's happened, or are we just hoping for the best? The leap of faith when it comes to a checking account makes me slightly nervous, but she's also making, I'm sure, a great income from doing the show. That's the thing that's hard to discuss, is she's not, you know, she's not able to pay for that dress with the yoga studio potentially, but she is, I'm sure, making at least a couple $100,000, right? Maybe several. I don't know. It's not her first season. And I hope she's making a decent living. That actually, that her salary came out in the divorce stuff, but I think that was for her first season. I don't remember. Anyway, hopefully she's thinking in her head about that. And also good for her that she's going to wear the dress more than once. We love that she's wearing a $2,000 dress to somebody's, I don't know what it was, bat mitzvah? What was it? Graduation or something? I know that they all wear wild outfits, but just the fact that that was for the garden party, I'm like, oh my God, where do we go from here? If that's the starting point. The other thing that kind of confused me is the conversation around Emily's kids, Heather's upset, and Katie's daughter's involvement. So Emily and Shane made the mistake of booking Katie's daughter to babysit, which it sounds like is never going to happen ever again. And the reason I say mistake is it's a lovely thing that they did. I'm sure Katie's daughter is a wonderful babysitter, but maybe not introducing that during Katie's first season when, again, boundaries are in question. Because I did think it was a wild decision to try to make a joke out of what Emily's 8-year-old twins may or may not have said about Heather Dubrow, when you know the whole point is that Heather Dubrow is going to hear about it. Then I do think this gets into a collateral damage idea. Like, Gina's being used as collateral damage currently by Tamra to get back at Shannon. Full stop. With this kids thing, I am a little uncomfortable with Emily's kids being essentially the collateral damage of Katie and or her 19-year-old daughter, what they're trying to say about Heather. I also think, believe Emily and Shane if they genuinely have not spoken poorly about Heather, because they wouldn't do that, or about the experience of the show in front of their kids. I believe them. My guess is also, like, Emily went back when she went back to the States, had a conversation with the twins, surely with Shane, was like, you're not in any trouble, just like tell us whatever. I really strongly doubt that those kids had actually said what Katie's daughter said that they did. And I'm also like, is Katie's daughter being coached to say this? Do they think this is going to be a fun moment? Heather Dubrow freaks out. If you know she's freaked out about whether or not her reputation will change if people think that she hired paparazzi, what do you think this is going to do for her? I get that they think it's going to be a light moment, but, like, does Heather Dubrow give light moment energy 86.4% of the time? Is that the energy we're getting from Heather? I thought the whole point of the fight between Heather and Katie is that, like, Heather's doing too much, and according to Heather, Katie is doing too much. I didn't love it. I also kind of felt like, if I'm being 1000% honest, I think, I don't remember if Emily said this or somebody else said it, maybe it might have been Gina, honestly, like, what I think could have happened is Katie's daughter was like, oh, how are you doing with the people that you see over at your house when they're camera crews? And what do you think of Heather? Isn't she crazy? And then the twins are probably like, sure, can I go watch TV? And then turning this into like, she's mean to my mommy, it's a little too spot on for these kids to just randomly say it. If Katie's daughter was like naming cast members and being like, what's your opinion of these people? And we know that Katie and Heather are having an issue. It just made me very uncomfortable. I just thought, like, this is weird. And also, maybe we don't babysit for cast members' children again. I think it was the right call for Emily and Shane to be like, we're not doing this again because it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate for her daughter to have shared that on camera. It's an absolute misunderstanding or not caring about how that's going to land. I don't like the fact that it was focused on 8-year-olds and what they're saying. Why don't you just tell us your opinion of your mom's argument with Heather? If you think Heather sucks, great, tell us that. But let's not use the kids here as the thing that we think is going to be like adorkable, but not. I didn't love it. It doesn't mean I don't appreciate, you know, filming these moments with the kids in general, but I didn't like the use of Emily's children. And I can't like mock Heather for her upset about that, but I do think it's wild what she thinks is extreme and crossing the line versus all of the other things that she's absolutely overlooking. Like when Jen is leaving after, you know, yelling at Tamara and saying, I think, valid things, even though I don't know that a lot of them were entirely factually correct about the actual background check. But like the fact that there was an intention there is a nuts line crossing thing if you think that this person is genuinely your friend. Like, that's the other thing. You know, how did we really feel about Tamara back then versus obviously the pure hatred now? And Heather just making this into a, well, I'm not going to question Tamara and her behavior because maybe that's what they all do. I'm just going to say that was too fucking loud. Like, what is that giving us? Listen, these two episodes gave me a lot. Also, I just genuinely, I think I mentioned this earlier, but I'll never get over Tamara pausing and then saying I spoke to Taylor last night on the phone. I will never get over that. And Jen very clearly saying about Tamara, she's a mean girl and a bully and she thrives in it. Clocked it 100%. God, I hope that Jen shows up to the reunion. And I really do think that she has quite apparently found her voice and I'm here for it. And Shannon, I feel you, girl. From a notes app to some crinkled paper, we are one and the same. Pooping, highly encourage it. I'm a stan. I'm an ally to the pro-pooping movement. It's been a difficult summer. We're just going to fingers crossed that the surgery has me down the right path. So listen, thanks for listening to this episode. It's a little late afternoon delight, also known as early dinner, and maybe a pre-Orange County aperitif, but working my way through the catch-up. Next on the list for me is this week's episodes and Potomac. Thanks for your patience. Truly, honestly, watching Orange County, there's something about like the saturated color of it too. But that might also be because my TV is bad. I don't know. I just fucking love it. It's just Orange County has fed me so well this season and it breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Like what John did to Shan, that this season is one day going to be over. God forbid. God forbid one day soon. Also, what was John's costume for Halloween? Was it just himself? Is that not terrifying? Listen, trick or treat. There is a new Patreon app up now with the Holy Trinity of live reactions to Bravo shows. I do a live reaction to the Southern Charm trailer, live reaction to the Beverly Hills trailer, and of course, Married to Med. You can listen to that episode now, which is exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers on Patreon at patreon.com/andysgirls. And at some point tonight, there will also be a Reading Rainbow episode where I deep dive into all things Lexi, Dina Manzo's daughter, her response to everything that has gone on with Tommy's sentencing and what that means for her mom, her relationship, lack thereof, estrangement with Caroline, getting into it on a Patreon app that you can listen to in the next couple hours. And that'll be exclusive to the same tiers, OG of the AG and People's Couch. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening to this episode. Slide into my DMs on Instagram. Send me your thoughts and feels at Dame Galley, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. Hope you have a happy and safe Halloween, and make sure you are registered to vote. Talk soon. Bye.